The views and opinions expressed in this program are those of the speakers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions or positions of anyone at Innovative Sim Solutions or our sponsors.
Beaker Health helps educate simulation faculty by partnering with leading professional organizations like Anaxil, SimGhosts, and Aspy. We make content available to your academic institutions to easily consume best practices, search and find education on a just-in-time learning platform, and track learning and evaluations with reporting metrics and certificates. So help your institution demonstrate competency by providing high-quality faculty education. Visit beakerhealth.com to learn more.
Welcome to the Sim Cafe, a podcast produced by the team at Innovative Sim Solutions, edited by Shelley Hauser. Join our host, Deb Tauber, and co-host, Jared Jeffries, as they sit down with subject matter experts from across the globe to reimagine clinical education and the use of simulation. So pour yourself a cup of relaxation, sit back, tune in, and learn something new from the Sim Cafe.
Welcome to another episode of the Sim Cafe. Thank you, Jared, for being here, and thank you, Jude Tomasello, our esteemed guest, for joining us. We appreciate you being on the show today.
Well, you're quite welcome. I've been looking forward to this, and I know we tried to connect for some time, so I'm very happy to be here.
I'm also pretty excited to hear too, because I think we have a different angle. I think that sometimes we do healthcare simulation, which this, of course, in a way is, but I think it has a different spin to it, which I'm excited to get into.
Yeah. So, Jude, why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself? Tell them kind of your story.
Okay. So I was born and raised in Southeast Texas. And I have an electrical engineering undergrad, and I've got an MBA graduate degree. And I went straight from college to working as a Department of Defense civilian. And I've been doing that for about 36 years now. That's a lot of DoD acquisition experience. And it's all been in simulation and simulators. So kind of a rare breed. There's a few of us here in the community here in the research park next to the University of Central Florida that kind of share that same experience. So for the first, I would say 29 years or so, I worked in what we call move, shoot, communicate simulators. That's like your gunnery trainers or driver trainers or communication trainers. And then along about 2016, early 17, I was handpicked to help lead a startup program manager for a joint medical simulation office under the Army here in Central Florida. And that was a radical change from my previous experience. On the medical side, it's, as you can imagine, it's a whole new set of acronyms. It's a whole new set of stakeholders. And it's just a whole new terminology and mindset, really. And it took me, you know, a few months to kind of get used to that and be comfortable in that environment. So what I was really taken aback with was the providers and throughout the military health system, how committed and dedicated these folks were. And that was incredibly inspiring to me and my team as well. So along about 2020, we transitioned from the Army to the Defense Health Agency. And there we currently reside under the PEO for medical systems. Personally, I love to cook. I love to fish. My wife, Melinda, is an artist, and we have two grown children.
Wonderful. And where are you calling out of?
Orlando.
Okay, perfect.
We are in the Central Florida Research Park, which is, again, adjacent to the University of Central Florida. And so I'm here representing DHA, and we've got all the services, Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines here doing simulations. So they call that consortium Team Orlando. Again, it involves the services, UCF, and various aspects of industry.
Okay. Well, who knew Orlando was such a mecca for this melting pot, which is wonderful. You guys are all so close.
It's been that way for many, many years. The agreement between UCF and the Army has been a long-standing agreement, and hopefully it thrives for years to come.
Certainly. And I think we're all better off for it. Having that closeness and collaboration is beneficial for so many. And so, speaking of the DHA or Defense Health Agency, what do you specifically do within the DHA?
So I am the program manager for medical simulation and training. I am chartered by the Component Acquisition Executive. And what we do in a nutshell is we turn requirements into capabilities. Our stated mission is to improve healthcare and build readiness through simulation training and education. And we were created to be the acquisition lifecycle manager. And that's, I don't know if you heard, it's referred to cradle to grave. So
Yeah.
we come in on the development, we do the acquisition, production, testing, fielding, and sustainment of medical simulation products and services supporting the military health system. And having a program manager performing and overseeing these activities is something you would see. It's any DoD program manager on the joint side, whether it's a joint strike fighter or whether it's combat boots or whether it's medical simulation. You kind of have the same general areas you work in. Those are transitioning science and technology. Those are taking your users' requirements, in my case, the joint services or the combatant commands, taking those requirements and turning them into capabilities. Like I said, there's another task of standardization. So I'm standardizing medical training solutions. You don't want each entity out there to have a unique solution because that's not efficient, it's not cost effective. And then you centralize the sustainment of those solutions we put out in the field. Again, that's cost effective to do it that way, and it's more efficient.
And when you're saying the field, roughly how many sites are we talking?
So it can be any of the military treatment facilities, and there are, I don't know the exact number because they change, but any of the MTFs out there, and then a combatant command or a service training facility or a DoD training facility. So it could be any number about, I don't have, it's not a set number, right? Depends on who comes to us and what their requirement is.
Understand.
I thought it was really interesting that earlier in our conversation before we got on, started recording, that we talked about Florida being, a mecca for simulation. And I just find that really interesting to hear about that the IDSEC conference. Why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about it? But it's always in Orlando.
It is. It's the Inter-Service Industry Training and Simulation Education Conference. It's always the week after Thanksgiving, and it's out at the Orange County Convention Center. And we literally take up half of that facility. I mean, and it's a
Wow.
huge, gigantic facility. And folks come in from all over the world. You can check out their website. I believe it's itsec.org. Again, just finished, and always, it's never too early to start planning for next year. They have paper reviews, they have presentations, they have tutorials, and of course, the exhibit hall out on the floor. So it's really an impressive display, and you get people from all over the world, governments and militaries from all over the world, contractors, industry from all over the world, and academia, again, from all over. So it's very, very impressive.
What was attendance like at this global event?
I've heard that this year was the highest attendance they've ever had. Again, but I don't know exactly what that number is.
Sure, we can Google it.
Yeah.
Why don't you share your story specifically into simulation, like how you ended up in simulation?
So again, I was hired as a Navy civilian right out of college. When I graduated, they came to our school and interviewed us, and it was the Naval Training System Center, which is now the Naval Air Warfare Center Training System Division. That's one of our sister commands here. They do the Navy simulation, whether it's flight, surface or subsurface, or medical as well. So I was hired right out. I moved to Orlando and began working as a project engineer. My first assignment was on the Ohio class submarine trainers. We did the combat system trainers. That was incredibly interesting, all the things that have to go on to make a submarine do what it does and do it well. So I really got an appreciation for our submarine force and how incredibly talented and incredibly trained those folks are. So then I moved from there, transitioned over to the Army in early 95, I guess, and started working gunnery trainers, tank simulators, driver trainers, and worked up to collective trainers on a very large scale. And then I went into the side that sustains them. We ended up building an $11 billion contract that operates and sustains Army simulators across the world. And that's from there is when I got handpicked. I was the deputy PM on the Army side doing the sustainment contract. I got handpicked to go work the medical side, and that's how I ended up here. Once the medical joint project manager for medical simulation, we had had a plan that we were going to migrate to Defense Health Agency and remain here. And we were going to take a few years to kind of slow roll and do an easy transition. The Army came along in 2019 and said, yeah, you know, your three-year plan, you're going to do that in a year. So we did. And in hindsight, you know, ripping that Band-Aid off, I think was really the best way to go. I transitioned my government civilians, and I've got some professional service contractors that work with me as well. And we transitioned all those folks and we're off and running.
And this was all started in 2019 then?
It culminated in the summer of 2020. Yeah.
Okay.
Wow.
Wow. That's, I haven't heard something like that. But I mean, is that usual that they try to shorten the timeline that, you know, quickly from three to
Working with DOD, anything can happen.
Okay. That's a safe answer. Yeah.
Yeah. Your timeline can be cut by, you know, 90%, or you can go on forever. And it's like, is this ever going to happen? So it can go any number of ways. Yeah. You just days, weeks, and months of boredom followed by short burst of terror. Right. Mm. So that you kind of expect that. And I've seen that all throughout my career.
And then throughout that time, you know, over the past 3 years or maybe even previously, do you have a favorite simulation story of any kind?
Yeah, I do. And it does involve medical training. With simulation, it saves lives, it saves money, and it improves readiness. And we all know that to be true. And that's pretty impactful in and of itself. But for me, the most impactful moment came, I was spending a little bit of time in the Middle East a few years ago. I was overseeing simulators and their operators there. And these were all kinds of simulators. And we happened to have a medical simulation training center there as well. And one day, this master sergeant sought me out. He knew I was the training trainer guy there. And he sought me out and came up to me. And literally, he was still dusty, you know, from that fine desert sand. He had his M4 on his back. And he said, hey, I just wanted to find you and tell you that the training I received on the medical simulation here, it not only saved his life, but saved his buddy's life. Wow. And for me, I got chills, you know, every time I tell that story. And for me, that's all I'll ever need in terms of what we do and why we do it.
And it's what really surprised me about this industry. It can provide so much meaning for these individuals, of course, saving a life. And I feel like it has to do the same thing. You know, obviously we're talking about education too, but for teachers to like, you know, we've had previous guests that are like, yeah, I've had a student come up to me 12 years later, 20 years later and say, you're the teacher that, you know, put me on this path or allowed me to do this, which is extremely important, but not to undermine something that saves someone's life. And that's something to say, yeah, you saved me and, you know, my best friend or, you know, my other comrade here. And so it really changes the outcome of what you do and where you want to put your energy into.
Yeah. On my previous experience, the 29 years I referred to earlier on the move, shoot, communicate side, you know, we would say, okay, we're helping make those men and women more ready. And that's mm-hmm. important. That can mm-hmm. potentially help bring them back safely as well. Or you're saving gas and bullets and wear and tear on the equipment, and that saves mm-hmm. money. And then that's important. You're saving wear and tear on the environment by doing things virtually in a simulator. That's important as well. But when it comes to the training I received saved my life, or my buddy used it to save my life. And you see these combat medics out there doing what they do, saving lives. You see clinicians in a clinical, in an emergency room environment, working as a team. And you know that those skills they learned in simulation. Not entirely, but they were honed in simulation. That is, again, that's a notch above.
100% agree.
I agree too. Great story. Just a great story. Now, Jude, are there any words of wisdom, anything that you want to leave with our listeners?
I thought about this at the risk of sounding like a TED talk, but this comes from years of diverse experience that I've had. And I find myself these days reflecting more and more as I approach retirement next year. So I would say follow your passion and don't run away from the hard stuff, right? Always maintain your integrity. I've seen through many years, folks with you know, different motivations that would tend to compromise their integrity. And I'm very proud that I've never done that. You always maintain your integrity. Folks can't take that from you. That's one thing you have mm-hmm. that others can't take from you. Also, I would say take the time to appreciate what you're doing and who you're doing it for. Again, after 36 years, I still go out there and I see these young men and women training, and it just takes my breath away that, you know, we help them and we help them do this and we are enablers for what they're doing. Take time to take care of you mentally, physically, your emotional intelligence, things like that. Just take the time to take care of you. Don't sacrifice your body, at least not to a great extent. We all do to some extent, but you have to know where that limit is mm-hmm. and stop and take care of yourself, and also take care and take time to be with those you love. And I would say under the category of leadership, leadership is a blessing. It's not a curse. It's a blessing. Lead with a purpose and create and protect an environment that your employees or your team can realize their full potential. And I've been very proud that I've been able to do that with teams over many years.
Yeah, I had an opportunity to meet your team last year at the IMSH, or actually early this year at IMSH. And you guys seem like a very, very tight-knit group. It was, you know, very pleasant to meet you all.
Yeah, we are.
And I love the integrity piece, especially, you know, that aligns well with reputation, because that's one other thing that you can never really take back.
And once you lose it, it's like credibility. It's mm-hmm. really, really hard to get that back.
Anything that you want to talk about or ask us about? Are you going to be at IMSH this year?
Yes, I will. And I'll be there with Gil and Vanette, my chief engineer, and I think Fabiola Stevens. She's my assistant program manager. She's going. And I believe Roger Hosier, he's one of my professional service contractors. So he'll be there as well. So I've got Gil, of course, is a retired flight medic. So I've got those disciplines all very well represented. I wanted to add a couple of points, kind of where this office is going longer term and about some of the folks we support. So in response to rising infant mortality rates, we're developing a system called Complicated Obstetrics Emergency Simulation System, or COES, as it's known as. This simulator will be fielded to 49 MTFs, military treatment facilities, across the globe, and will provide obstetrics and gynecological training teams to hopefully reverse this trend. So we're very much looking forward to that and proud of that. We also have fielded a system that trains special forces medics, trains their teams in prolonged casualty care. And we're working on a requirement, still in the very early stages of that requirement, to extend this to all services. So as you see, our PM office is just one of a few at DHA that provides direct support on both the clinical and the operational side. What you'll generally see at DHA is, you know, very heavy clinical support, or very heavy like on TRICARE and big service contracts and things like that. But you rarely see an office that supports both clinical and the operational side. And I'm very proud of what we do in that regard to support that. I will close. I'll say that, you know, enabling these providers, whether they're clinical or operational, to be at the top of their readiness and continue to save lives is what we call the why. And that's what keeps our team and myself going every single day. And that's really what I wanted to say there. So thank you. Thank both of you for this opportunity. I really appreciate it, the opportunity to get the word out.
No, thank you. It's so wonderful to learn more, you know, about the DHA and the Defense Health Agency, because I think it's something that it's not really at the forefront of many people's minds, but of course there's so much going on and you're spread so wide. So there's so much progress and ability to really do well for the world.
Yeah. And you know, it's funny because a medical simulation PM is not widely known throughout DHA, oddly enough. And hopefully we can get the word out and some folks can watch this podcast or listen to it and become more knowledgeable about who we are and what we do.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing your mission, your vision, and your compelling why and what you're doing to make our military people feel more comfortable and confident in their job and helping to save lives.
Oh, you're quite welcome. I love what we do. We have a great team here and we love sharing, telling people what we do.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much. And we look forward to seeing you at IMSH 2024 in lovely San Diego.
We'll be there. Look All forward right. to it.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us here at the Sim Cafe. We hope you enjoyed. Visit us at www.innovativesimsolutions.com and be sure to hit that like and subscribe button so you never miss an episode. Innovative Sim Solutions is your one-stop shop for your simulation needs, a turnkey solution.